going to bring in Dr. David Cohen, professor of political science at the University of Akron and one of our political analysts here on the morning show. And David, it looks like this week it's going to become official. Governor DeSantis from Florida looks like he will officially be in the running for the presidency in 2024 on the GOP ticket going up against Donald Trump. So I guess let's go there first, David, and how you look at DeSantis. Is he a viable candidate on that ticket?
Good morning, Ray. You know, we've been talking about DeSantis for a long time now, and I don't think his announcing that he's going to run for president is really any surprise. But he absolutely has his work cut out for him. I mean, Donald Trump is the clear front runner. He's the, you know, former president of the United States. That gives him an advantage. You know, he has probably more name recognition than even the current president of the United States, which is rather unusual that, you know, somebody with that kind of name recognition is running again. And, you know, Trump is beloved by a, you know, a pretty significant proportion of the Republican base. And in a primary, a presidential primary, with multiple candidates, that means everything. And so Trump has a huge advantage in this race for the nomination. And frankly, I don't see anybody knocking him off. Even if Trump is, convicted of the many, you know, crimes that he has been accused of, even if he goes to prison, I still think he's got a really good shot at getting the nomination. So I think DeSantis, is about as tough a challenger as Trump is going to find. But I think it's a one-person race at this point.
David, if you were in the DeSantis camp and being the campaign manager, what would be your areas to attack Donald Trump in to try to get some people to sway your way?
Well, first, I would counsel him not to run. He's a young guy. I think he's in his late 40s. I would just say sit this one out and come back in 4 years. But it looks like DeSantis is determined to actually go ahead and challenge for the nomination. And so if I were counseling him, I would say to hit Trump on, the many legal troubles that he has. Hit Trump on his record of losing elections since 2018, actually going back to 2017 in the special election in Alabama. Trump has a dismal record in terms of candidates that he supported and how his party has done, when he was president. He has a terrible track record. And I think that is what DeSantis has to emphasize. And, you know, frankly, a lot of anti-Trump Republicans, those are the issues that they point to as well.
With us is Dr. David Cohen, professor of political science, University of Akron, also, of course, with the Bliss Institute at the University of Akron. Before we move over to the debt ceiling, David, what about Joe Biden? We talked to, about a month ago when he made the announcement that he is running for re-election. As you sit back and you talk to your students and more, what about the job that President Joe Biden has done? What type of grade would you issue there and why?
Oh, boy. I got to give him a grade, huh? I would say I'd give him probably a B. He's accomplished quite a bit in just the last couple of years, and, you know, he was thrown into an extremely difficult situation. You might remember, in January of 2021, even before he became president, you had the January 6th insurrection. You had COVID still raging. You had a lot of factions within the Democratic Party putting pressure on him, the progressives, and then the Joe Manchin wing. And yet he was able to, surmount all of those challenges and pass some very significant legislation, such as the infrastructure bill. I think, and the midterm losses for his party were much less than expected and much less than what he should have had just in terms of historically what the president's party has gone through in a midterm election. I think the communications operation in the White House has been absolutely dismal, and I think that's been the biggest challenge for the White House is the fact that they don't do a very good job communicating some of the big wins that he has had. So I'd give him a B, which is good but not great.
Internationally, though, he has used his experience to the strengths that many people thought he would. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, for sure. On foreign policy, if we were just grading on foreign policy, I would give him an A-minus. And that is, I think he has very much restored America's place in the world. He's put together a coalition to, push back against Russia and their invasion of Ukraine. I think he has strengthened NATO, which after the Trump years, after Trump, roundly criticized and frankly tried to weaken NATO, I think Biden has done an excellent job, bringing us back. I think the only major blip with Biden in terms of foreign policy was the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan and something that, frankly, his hands were a little bit tied on because the Trump administration had negotiated that hasty deadline to get American troops out.
With us is Dr. David Cohen, professor of political science at the University of Akron. David, debt ceiling. Both sides are saying we're not going to let this happen. We're not going to let us not being able to pay our bills and such. But it doesn't seem like we're any closer. Take us into the nation's capital and what you're hearing as far as some sort of agreement or making some strides of getting this taken care of.
Well, nothing, forces, parties in Washington to negotiate like a deadline. And there's a big, fat deadline looming. June 1st is what most experts are saying is kind of the drop-dead date for getting a debt ceiling deal negotiated. And, if June 1st comes and there's no deal, the United States could very well default on all of its obligations, which would send the American economy and the global economy into absolute chaos. It would be a terrible thing if that were allowed to happen. And so the White House has appointed three negotiators from its White House staff and, Kevin McCarthy from the U.S. House, the Speaker of the House, has tapped one of his lieutenants to negotiate, and I think they're going to continue to negotiate behind the scenes. Hopefully a deal that both parties can agree to. And you'll notice the United States Senate is kind of staying out of it. Mitch McConnell has essentially delegated to McCarthy to be able to negotiate because, the real problem is the Republicans in the U.S. House. They are so split, and it is such a raucous House to keep together, and McCarthy's job is so difficult that, McConnell, isn't even bothering to weigh in on this.
David, talk about the troubles and why this hasn't been done yet. Talk about what the Republicans want and why they may need to negotiate to get this done.
Well, it depends on which Republican you talk to. You have four or five different factions within the Republican Party, from extremely radical members who don't even believe, any of this is real. And you've got, some of the more mainstream establishment Republicans wanting to just vote for a clean raising of the debt ceiling. And let me just, tell the listeners, three times in the Trump administration, Congress raised the debt ceiling without any kind of deal. And it's just, called, doing a clean raising of the debt ceiling. That's what the Biden White House and Democrats have been calling for. And the House Republicans have refused to do that. That's the easiest thing. The debt ceiling is an arbitrary ceiling that was put on the federal government by Congress about 100 years ago. And most advanced countries don't even have something like this. And it is simply, we're talking about paying for things that have already been put on the country's credit card, okay? We're not talking about future spending. And so this is a very, very dangerous game of chicken that's being played by both sides. You know, in the past, most of the time, the Congress has just raised this thing, and then the negotiations take place on the budget, which happens every year, and that's future spending. That's where these kinds of negotiations should be taking place, and not holding the nation's ability to pay for its debts hostage.
And David, why aren't they willing to look and say, okay, let's raise this? I mean, is this a political game? Is that where we are?
Yes. It's all politics, Ray. and it has nothing to do with the health of the country or, what's good. This is very, very serious stuff. It's already roiling the financial markets, but this is all about politics. This is all about being able to make an argument in the 2024 election. Look, we forced the Biden White House to compromise. We forced the Biden White House to do things like, put work requirements on social spending. We forced them to cut, some of their, green energy programs. We were forced them to cut all sorts of spending on social programs. That's what this is about. And again, these kinds of negotiations can take place in the budget process, which happens every single year. They know that the House Republicans know if they use the debt limit, that is a whole order of magnitude different because it is so incredibly serious, much more serious than a government shutdown, which we've seen several times over the last, few decades. This is much more serious than a government shutdown, not paying, the obligations and ruining the full faith and credit of the United States government is extremely serious and would result in much more economic chaos than even your typical federal government shutdown.
Yeah, David, to your point there, it's not only paying, quote, as you said, your credit card bill, but obviously when you look around the world, global economy and other country leaders looking at this country as number one, and then you see us not being able to pay our bills, boy, that's, in lack of a better term, not a good look.
Yeah, and in fact, the dollar is the world's currency, and you now have countries that are starting to talk about, is that such a good idea? There's so much chaos that happens, with, the American Congress and these frequent battles on the budget, frequent battles on the debt limit, that maybe countries are going to rethink the dollar being kind of the basis of the world's currency.
David, great insight, my friend. Thank you for the time this morning. It's always appreciated.
Thank you, Ray.